you tonight, but I've had my share of trials. I've had my share of burdens. But you know what? Through every situation, I find myself still still in love with Jesus. Are you in love with him tonight? Come on, Minister Freeman. Sing this melody for me.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the James Bishop Tubman Radio Show. I'm your host, Pastor James Tubman for GPG Radio, and thank you for listening here on GPGradio.com. We are so excited and blessed to have with us our special guest for this evening, and none other than Mr. William Becton. How you doing, Mr. William Becton?
Good evening, sir. I'm blessed, man. Excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Man, we're excited to have you. I should have said the two-time Stella Award-winning William Becton. How about that?
Man, that a cup of coffee might get you arrested right now.
Well, listen, man, thank you so much for setting aside some time, man. What I like to do when we have these exclusives is I like for our listeners to learn a little bit more about the person. They know a little bit about the artist based on the work that you've put out. But I want to know a little bit about you, the man. What's a typical day like for William Becton?
Well, man, it changes. It has changed over the years. And really, you know, everything's changed in the last 6 months, you know. So I'm still trying to find some normalcy as it relates to what my normal day is like now. I mean, it's like we're seeking the Lord for new vision and reinventing ourselves and coming up with new plans in the crisis and pandemic that we're in, and just learning how to do ministry, music and ministry in this climate, and beginning to exercise the muscles to be able to foresee where we're going. So, I mean, I know I very, you know, understood the message clearly. I just don't even know how to answer that one now. Ain't that normal?
Yeah, we're definitely in some challenging times, and well, I guess we're establishing some new norms every day that we get through this thing, man. I know that you've been through some struggles in your life, some challenges there. Would you care to share some of the struggles and the challenges that you've had to face even throughout your music ministry and even your ministry in period?
Your successes will always parallel your struggles. You know, you can't have success without struggles and trials. They are what validate your anointing in the ministry to give you the ability to be powerful in your presentation, whether it is preaching and whether it is music. Your experiences and your struggles. Jesus learned obedience by the things in which he suffered. So there is a obedience that comes through suffering, but there's also a certain amount of power that comes through it as well. So if you ever, you know, when a person is able to experience monumental successes in ministry, do know that if they have not yet, that they are going to go through some Job-like situation to validate that word. And I'm no different. You know, I went through a lot of things, man. With the success of my career, in my career over the years, at times it seemed as if I was walking around with a target on my back, and you know, target practice for some of the sharpshooters of hell. But those things validated me, and they gave strength to the words that I speak, so that when I speak them now, they come forth with power and a certain amount of experience that has backed that up. You know, and so you're not exempt from it. You know, no one is exempt from it. Now that is if you want to really carry the mantle of God completely and fully, you're gonna endure many things, man. And that's going to make you make your anointing and actually justify, not justify, but actually strengthen or validate your words and your gift.
Amen. Thank you for that. The validation and the strength. Is it safe to say that a lot of your inspiration with writing your material came through some of those struggles, or what inspires you?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's the key. That is one of the things that I say a lot when I share in workshops or teach or mentor people preaching. Average writers, and I'm speaking musically now, average writers write when they are inspired. Great writers write whenever they feel like it. So it is good to write. It's not a bad thing to write when you're inspired, but I like to be able to chronicle the experiences of other people. What I mean,
wow.
If you take that into consideration with what I said prior, you know, some things, man, I want to look at someone else's life and look at the lessons that they learned and go a different route so I won't have to experience that.
So, right.
I used to go to a lot of movies. I'm a big movie fan. So movies were my escape from the normal activity of the workday, aside from my prayer closet. And I would just go in and we'll go to the movies when no one was there, you know, the peak of the afternoon when it first opened. And I would see all the Hollywood blockbusters. And I would use sometimes the experiences from other creators, directors who put together movies, or experiences that I heard other people go through. Now, I have written out my personal experiences, and I do all the time. Everything that I experience and go through in life, I write out of. But if you want to be a great writer, you got to be able to touch a broad base of people. And there's some things that I have written about that, I may not have experienced at the time that I wrote it, but shortly thereafter, the potency of the song, I was going to, in some aspect, you know, have to endure some things behind the words that I penned.
Yes, sir. Well, you talk about experiences, and I know a lot of times, and I'll say it this way, a gospel music fan, they fail to see that you guys go through things. You struggle just like everybody else, and you had some experiences, some life-altering experiences in your life, being divorced and dealing with death. Could you share a little bit about those experiences?
Well, unfortunately, you know, we live in a culture where my position on divorce is that I don't believe in it. You know, now, with that being said, I am a divorcee. So,
right.
Unfortunately, we live in a culture where over 50% of marriages end in divorce. And not just divorce, but people who have suffered death of spouse, death of parents, or even people who experience death of spouses. We're living in a time, where there is brokenness in every aspect. And I write about that. You know, my first record was Broken One. I've done another Broken Two record. I'm getting ready to release a Broken Three record. Outside of the other CDs that I have released, my mission statement is making disciples of the broken. So not just divorce. It doesn't matter what it is that is breaking you at this time. The broken process, it means to be forcibly fractured, shattered, torn into pieces. But it also means to be tamed, calm, and subdued, to be brought into a place of submission. So you have two different types of brokenness, you know. The things that you experience where you're not functioning right, and also when God gets into the mix of that, the elevated aspect of brokenness, which moves you into a position of being submitted. Sometimes, you know, a cowboy has to ride a wild horse until he breaks him. And when he breaks that horse, the horse is broken into submission. Sometimes we are like that. Sometimes God allows situations in our life. Hey, you don't want to go left? You want to go left? I'm telling you right now, the turn here. Okay, well, just have it your way. And then the situation breaks you, and then you go, God, I'm ready to go left now. Whatever you say, I'm ready to go down. So I mean, right. That's how we have to look at that. Someone is listening to me now, perhaps you are in a situation where you're in the midst of brokenness and even some things that were done out of your control, that were done to you. You were a victim. And perhaps some people are listening to me right now. You're not a victim. You know you made some conscious decisions to go against God. Forget what's behind and look at what's in front of you. God is not concerned with what you did. He's more concerned with what you're doing and what you're going to do.
Wow. That is incredible. That's incredible. Never mind what I used to be. It's all about where I'm going. And that's awesome. You mentioned broken. And I can tell you this. I can remember 1995, I believe it was, Be Encouraged came out. And I was on my way from Shreveport, Louisiana. I never will forget it. And for you listeners, there was no playback at that time. It was radio. We had to use the dial to find the radio station.
Yeah.
And I got the song right in the middle. And I was like, man, who is this? Man, this is... Who is it? And here's the thing. It wasn't on a gospel music radio station.
Wow.
So that sound, man, was like you had successfully merged inspirational or gospel lyrics with an urban sound. What was that inspiration? What inspired that?
I'm a product of the 70s, man. When I say product of the 70s, the greatest era, decade, in my opinion, of music was the 70s. You know, now we know we had, prior to that, we had the Motown sound, you know, that started in the 60s and the later part of the 60s. But in my opinion, the greatest writing, you know, of soul, R&B, you know, music, you know, collectively black music, you know, if you consider the decades, you know, the 70s would definitely have to lead the way. I don't know, you know, what was going on in the 80s, you know. We went to techno and a whole lot of crazy sound. But and there was some extraordinary artists there, too. So I'm saying all that to say, when I grew up, you know, in the church. You know, that's the only thing I know is church, church, church. But I came from Washington, D.C. They call it the DMV, you know, the District, Maryland. And Virginia. And we had these little row houses, you know, two houses together, then it was a space, and then another two houses together. So, and the space between those houses probably was about maybe 10 feet, you know, maybe 15 feet, 20 feet. So that's not a lot of space. So if your next door neighbor, you might be church boy, and your parents say no secular music, but if your next door neighbor was a DJ, he was pumping that music all the time, 24/7.
Yes.
So you talking about Chaka Khan, you talking about George Clinton, P-Funk, All Stars, Funkadelic, Mother Ship Landing.
All right.
You talking about my Family Stone. And I'm a little kid hearing this music like, and he was like, you will play the song over and over and over and over and over, which you can't tell the man he couldn't play his music. So mom and dad could say no special music in the house all they wanted to say. But my man next door, he was making sure I had an anthology of music. So, you know, then I go to school and I major in voice. Okay, Duke Ellington School of Performing Arts. I was a voice major, so I'm learning to sing in German, Latin, Italian, and French. And then I majored in voice in college, more German, Latin, Italian, French, Old English. So you've got the church sound that's embedded in me. You've got R&B that's embedded in me. You got classical that's embedded in me. What made Be Encouraged and made that whole broken record was a collage of material. When I got ready to do my first record, I wanted to do things that I had been exposed to and to try to represent my deposits as best I could. So the particular song that you're talking about, Being Cursed, that was just my representation of what Philly International was. In other words, what would it sound like if Teddy Pendergrass was a gospel artist? You know, wow. And so that's what I did.
Man, that is amazing. This is James Bishop Tubman with GPG Radio. We have William Becton here with us, and we're going to pause briefly to hear the song Be Encouraged, released in 1995 on the album entitled Broken.
Put those hands together all across the building tonight. Let the devil know that you're encouraged. Let him know that you're encouraged. Let him know. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but somebody may be crying, but I come to let you know that God can make it all right. It's impossible to see, but God is gonna work it out if you just believe. Remember this one thing while you're going through. If God delivered Daniel, guess what? He'll do the same for you. Hey,
no matter what's going on, he'll make it all right.
Said it in his word. Just a test of your faith. So stand strong and dry your weeping eyes. 'Cause joy comes in the morning and everything is gonna be
sister.
turn and that's only I'm encouraged tonight. I'm going all the way through. I'm going all the way through. Somebody may be crying tonight, but I come to let you know Jesus will. He'll dry your eyes. He'll dry your eyes. He'll dry your eyes. Shoo-da-da-da-da-do. Shoo-da-da-da-da-do. Jesus is with you. Just know Jesus is with you. Hey, hey, hey. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. Yeah. Oh, yes. Put those hands together.
And we're back, and this is James Bishop Tubman on GPG Radio. You can listen to us at gpgradio.com. We have a two-time Stella Award-winning producer and artist, William Becton. We're talking about the song Be Encouraged. William, you're talking about a 25th anniversary of the groundbreaking of this song. Talk to us a little bit about that. What's going on?
25 years, man. That first Broken record was released in May 1995. The single, Be Encouraged, was the single for that record. And it was a record that I did with a lot of extremely talented vocalists out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area as a writer, producer, and vocal teacher, vocal coach. I sing very little. I sing about three songs on the record, but that record had Kenny Lattimore right before he became Kenny Lattimore, about a couple of months before. I had a lead singer on Be Encouraged, Mr. Cliff Jones, and also James Washington. Then I had Lois Tillery, Pastor Charles Phillips. I had a lot of extraordinary vocalists, man, on that record. And my aim was to be, at the time, in typology, so kind of like a type of Quincy Jones in gospel music, in that I wanted to establish myself as a producer, as a writer, as a concept artist. And during that time in gospel music, a lot of things were being had artists like Kirk Franklin, who was leading the way in that regard and changing what artists meant. You know, before that time, if you wanted to be an artist, you had to be just a flat-footed singer. But then you had artists coming on the scene like Donald Lawrence. You had the Ricky Dillards. You had the Orlando Drapers, you know, Kirk Franklin. And you're William Becton that had a different sound. And so it's amazing that now, 25 years later, the Lord still has me, he has me returning back to the scene to do what I love to do. Oftentimes over the years, people have told me that my music was ahead of its time or apostolic in nature and that it goes a little before. So in the height of the pandemic, or when it, not in the height, at the beginning, the Lord spoke to me, 25 years, go back and redo Be Encouraged. And so we released the Be Encouraged 2020 remix on May the 30th, the actual 25-year anniversary of the song coming out. And it did extraordinary thing. It charted top 40 on the song. It has a new vocalist as well as I kept few others, but the late Ollie Woodson, the former lead singer of the Temptations, who used to do Treat It Like a Lady. He took David Ruffin and Dennis Edwards' spot with the Temptations. He's been gone now for 10 years, and it's a blessing to be able to put his vocals on that record.
That's awesome. We're talking about the remix of Being Encouraged, and you kept the original lead of Cliff Jones and James Washington, but you added something new in the remix. There's a phrase, keep breathing. Can you tell us a little bit about this new phrase?
Yeah, it's interesting because at the time that I began to work on that, it was about the second week in March, and the Lord told me to go back and pick that up and you know, remix it. So I started to think about it, and the second week in March, I realized this was a little before I heard, because everyone has a Keep Breathing song now, you know, and I believe the Keep Breathing material hit its height around the George Floyd situation. But in March, the Lord told me to say that, you know, and I'm like, okay, keep breathing, because this virus, you know, attacks our breathing. Little did I know we were going to be hit with subsequent things that really focused on our breathing. And so what I really wanted to echo at that time was that the breath of God, as the scripture says, the life of the body is in the blood. Life of the body is in the blood. But the life of the soul is the breath of God. You know, God breathed into man and he became a living soul. While the life of the body, the physical body, is the blood. And so anything that attacks your breathing attacks the essence of God that's in you. What I wanted to convey in the song is that life is going to be filled with constant struggles. Just keep getting up. Keep breathing. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep breathing. Yeah, you got hit hard now, but keep breathing. Keep giving up. Keep getting up. Keep depending on God to give you the vitality to experience and go through the heaviest of life struggles.
Wow, that's very powerful. Tell me, when you wrote this song, did you have any idea that it would be a timeless piece? Did God reveal any of that to you when you were writing it?
No, man, not in the least. You know, I knew that God had given me this entire record. That's what I knew. I knew that Broken was a monumental theme. I knew that the other components of this of the record were going to be pieces that would pull people out of really traumatic situations. In fact, the last song that I wrote for the record was Be Encouraged. And the only reason why I wrote it, a friend of mine, she was a former, her name was Kathy Meyer. She used to be signed to Intersound Records. And I let her hear and look at my song list prior to me releasing this first record. And she said, "Beckton, it's great. You know, you got all these songs that deal with brokenness. I understand that. But you got to have something to encourage your people. You got to have something." So I said, okay, all right, Be Encouraged. I write a song, Be Encouraged. And it was just as simple as that, you know. When, you know, we recorded it, you know, again, it's great, great performances. And, you know, I took it in back in the studio and began to flip some things around, you know, with it. And lo and behold, it is this iconic tune that's bigger than I even could imagine. You know, I couldn't have written a better script for it. You know, out of all of those struggles at the time, Be Encouraged sort of capsizes, or it combines all the elements into one simple phrase, because it presupposes, the title alone presupposes that you have gone through something. And or going through something. It's inclusive. It means that you're going through something, I'm in something, but I can smile because I'm going to come out of something.
Amen. Wow. This is James Richard Tubman on GTG Radio. All of you, I want all of our listeners to know that all of your projects are charted, and that's a blessing in itself, and it speaks to how gifted and anointed you are as a writer and a producer and an artist. It's amazing to be able to be around to witness something like this. You're working on something else. You got a documentary in the works. You going to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, what I did was my career has a lot of struggles that you were speaking to earlier. You know, while I was having great success with Be Encouraged, I was also having great struggles with the record company that was seeking to economically destroy me, and the financial ruin that I was going through with them withholding royalties and all the legal battles associated with them. So it was oxymoronic, to say the least. You know, because I'm here, I'm having this great success visually, but behind the scenes, I was getting hit with Mike Tyson haymakers and
wow.
Trying to getting up from the canvas. And so the story never was told, and you know, the label, they weren't going to tell the story because, you know, they were pretty much robbing me blind. And I didn't really have the wherewithal to handle those situations the way that they needed to be handled from a business perspective, from a legal standpoint. And really, all I really wanted to do at that time was minister. You know, people wondered, you know, because I came out with this record, then I disappeared from the scene for 3 years. And then we came back with another record, you know, but it was a lot of legal things. You know, people were wondering, well, why are you coming back, or what took you so long? And then though the second record charted, and it did well, it ended the chart, I believe, at number 7, that Heart of Love Song record. But the company was just enslaving me in so many different ways, and it was very difficult to be able to want to do music. So you go from record to record with all these issues, and the story never was told. And so we had one of the most successful songs in gospel music history. It was just an amazing scenario. We decided to tell the story of that whole record and just tell the story of my career, because some people wonder, you know, where I've been and, you know, why haven't you written more music? And I'm like, well, yeah, I've done like 7 albums, and, you know, I worked with this artist, Mike Cloud, doing all these. So, well, we didn't know that. We didn't. So we're doing the documentary on September the 11th. It's supposed to be the release date for it. It won't be released for about another week and a half, 2 weeks. But we're doing a documentary on my music and the Be Encouraged song. And we sort of tell the story of what was going on to the millennials and those that weren't around then. You know, we sort of chronicle the gospel music industry at that time. And we talk about a lot of the things. And we're going to, again, officially re-released Broken 1, Broken 2, Broken 3 in a project called The Trilogy in November. But the documentary is coming in just a few weeks.
Wow, I can't wait for the documentary and the trilogy, man. I know it's going to be amazing. I had a couple more questions before I let you get out of here. You talked about the record company, and I'm finding this to be a common theme from artists. They talk about the struggle between ministry and the business side of it. If there was something or one thing you could change about that part of it, the business side of it, what would it be? And my final question would be, what words of encouragement would you have for up-and-coming artists?
Wow, I can combine those into one response, because they're all one and the same for me. Jesus said, you know, are you going to love or serve God or mammon? Which one? Because you got to choose one, because you can't do both. Mammon being translated in the Greek money. So you raise a very, very powerful perspective. And a battle. There is always that battle between the industry aspect of gospel, the music, and the ministry aspect of gospel music. And so an artist has to decide which one they're going to feed the most. Which one are they going to ascribe to the most? You're going to love one. One, you can't love them both. One, you're going to have to put above the other one. For me, I'm a church boy, so ministry was what I wanted to do. I wanted to minister to people. I wanted power in my music, power in my presentations. And so I wasn't necessarily focused always on the other things. Now, when we did this record, we wanted to minister to people. When it charted, I wanted to minister to people. All of a sudden, I got birthed into an industry machine. And it began to pull me in areas that I wasn't comfortable, and it wasn't my initial mission statement. Well, that provided a lot of conflict, you know, when you sign a record deal, because now you got a company who has employees who's trying to change your music, trying to push you in a direction that was common. I didn't care how where everybody else was walking. I care less about that. I knew what God told me, and I knew where I needed to be walking. So I wasn't concerned with, you know, this artist is doing that, and you got to do this, you got to do this. No. And that could, you could see how that can cause some problems, you know, at the embryo levels, you know, and at the foundation. And so what ended up happening was a lot of turmoil. So I would say today that an artist needs to be able to decide what they want to do. Because see, you can be an artist and a great minister of the gospel and song and not have a record deal. In fact, the industry has so changed in the last 15 years that you're probably better suited not having a label. So my advice is to know, you know, who you are, why you are, and what you're called to do, and stay in that lane. And lastly, one of the most prolific things that I ever heard said on that level, from that perspective, was said not by a gospel music group. It was said by Maze, Frankie Beverly. And I remember hearing him say it on the BET Awards. He said, "Do your music your way. Don't change your style for anybody." And I read through that. I'm like, you're absolutely right. You have to do what you do in spite of everybody else, because there is an audience for what you do. The reason why you have a sound is because there is an audience for that sound. And if you fail to produce that sound, then that audience is going to be left with a deficiency.
Wow, that is powerful. Well, good people, you've heard it here from Mr. William Becton himself. Be on the lookout for his documentary that's going to be released this month, the month of September. And the trilogy will be coming out in November. So we can't wait to get our hands on both of those. Mr. Becton, thank you so much for your time, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my friend. I have had a wonderful time exposing my life. Now I hope I haven't offended nobody. I still want them to buy my music.
Oh yeah, we gonna buy it, man. We gonna buy it. You're a superstar, and we pray for you. We love you, man.
Amen. Bless you, man.
All right, take care.
Now it seems like midnight. Well, it's hard to see.
You got to.
But you gonna make it.
He'll make it all right.
It's gonna work out. You know what I mean? I wanted to remix it.
Talking to the children of the day, God is gonna work it out.
if you just believe.
Remember this one thing while you're going through this.
I'm never the same. No,
if
no, no, no.
God delivered Daniel. Guess what? He'll do the same.
I know he will.
You.
Yes, you do, yes, you
of your
do.
Faith, talking to the children. So stand strong.
See, years ago, I was riding in my car, listening to the radio, and the song came on, and it said something like, be, 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 be encouraged. And I just couldn't wait so I could buy it and play it as long as I wanted to play it and listen to it over and over and over and over again. Hold on, hold on. Lord, it's so important to do. Have a dime. Oh, my, my, Lord. I was running the streets.